Greetings, this is Pastor Stan Harvey of the Pentecostals of Sydney. Thank you for joining us on our podcast. It is our hope that this message, whether it be a Sunday service or a midweek lesson, would be a blessing and a help to you in your spiritual journey. Stay connected with us on our website, posydney.com, or on our numerous social media platforms. Now to the service.
And it reads, "So it was, after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders amongst you." Father, we just give you thanks, Lord. We give you thanks, Father, for your word. And Lord, we just pray that you speak to us now through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Could you imagine the Israelites? They've been wandering the desert for about 40 years, enduring hardship after hardship, to go to the promised land, the land that God had been calling them to. Now we need to remember that as they come up to the River Jordan, all the Israelite nations that left Egypt had died off, except for two, except for Joshua and Caleb. So we have a whole new generation who had been born and brought up in the desert coming up to the Jordan River. And here they are at the edge of the Jordan River, and they know that across the other side is the land they've been called to inhabit, their promised land, the land Hello. They'll do anything to try to stop me talking, won't they? But here is this new generation that arrived at the edge of the Jordan River, and they've been called to cross over to the other side. Now we need to remember that as they arrived here, this generation that had been brought up in the desert, swimming wasn't one of the things they'd been taught to do. They had no idea how to swim. They had no boat skills. They had no water skills at all. And as they look over to where the promised land, where they're supposed to be, there's a barrier, the Jordan River. And what's more, at this point in time, the Jordan River is in flood. It's raging down. It's the most impassable thing that they could probably imagine. No swimming skills, no water skills, and they're called to cross over. Logic would have told them to wait. Wait it out. I mean, they've been in the desert for 40 years. What's a few more weeks or a few more months? Just wait it out and cross over when it's safe. To cross over now is certain suicide. But they're called to cross over. And then the priests are called to lead the way. Now, this is not a good time to be a priest. This is the time when you want to have a sabbatical and nominate someone else to be a priest for a couple of days. Let them go across. But the priests are told, you're going to be the ones going across. But we're going to make it a little bit harder. We're going to give you the Ark of the Covenant to take with you, the most prized possession in Israel. So here they are. They've got to cross over something they can't cross. And as we read in verses 15 to 17, as they come up and their feet touch the edge of the Jordan River, God holds the water up. God banks the water up, allowing them to cross to the middle of the Jordan River, where they stand with the Ark of the Covenant while the entire Israel nation cross over onto the Promised Land. Some people estimate there's about 1 million Israelites in that generation. I don't know how they estimate that, but that's what they estimate. So you can imagine the priests having to stand in the middle of the river, in the middle of the thing they feared the most, all that time, waiting for the Israelites to cross over. It's a long time to stand in a place that you fear. Do you know that each one of us, God calls that each one of us, we're to live in the promised land. God calls each one of us to live where in the place that he created for us. We've been called to leave the desert. We've been called to leave the harsh environment that we lived in before coming to know God. The harsh environment where we found life difficult. We've been called to cross over and live in that promised land. But we need to ask ourselves, what Jordan River is blocking us from being on the other side? What Jordan River is blocking us from being where God calls us to be, is blocking us from being who we're called to be as a person? I'll put it to you that there's basically three things that block us from being where we should be or being who we should be. These are security, inadequacy, and guilt. Let's look at security. In our culture, we're continually reminded about the importance of security. Now, let me begin here by saying that I am not suggesting that we should abandon responsibility. Because in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, we're clearly called to subdue the earth and all in it. In other words, we're called to be responsible. We're called to master our environment rather than being at the mercy of our environment. We're called to be prudent with our resources. We're called to be prudent with our finances. And we're called to strategically plan for our future. God gives us the intelligence and the command to master our environment. Therefore, there is nothing wrong in prudent planning. However, there's always howevers. To a large extent, we've gone past the point of prudent planning. And we've arrived at the point where we begin to live in fear of security. Rather than being the master of security, our security has become master of us. We want to secure life, so we begin to play safe. We play safe and we begin to restrict our boldness. We restrict our creativity. We restrict our willingness to follow the call of God on our life. And because of this fear, we find ourselves living in a bondage. A bondage that holds us back from stepping out across our Jordan River. Because of this bondage, we fail to realize our God-given potential in life. Because of this bondage, we stop at the riverbank, on the wrong side of the river, looking across to where we should be, looking across to where we could be. God does not want us to be a slave to security. He does not want us to be bound. He does not want us to be chained, to be restricted in this way. There's nothing wrong with security. But there is a problem when security begins to inhibit our ability to step out and move ahead in life. Any security we have in life, whether it be a career, investments, relationships, or whatever, any security we have can be taken away almost overnight through retrenchments, sickness, death, collapse of business, or whatever. The only true security we have can be found in God. If God calls us to step out into the raging river, if God calls us to cross over to be where he wants us to be, if God calls us to cross over to the promised land and become who we've been created to be, then we need to let go of the security of the ground, the dry ground we stand on. And we need to begin stepping out into the river. Our security must be in God. We need to have faith in God, keeping our eyes focused on Jesus and stepping out when he calls us to step out. The second category is inadequacy. I call it the if-onlys. If only I could swim, I'd get to the other side. If only I had a boat, I'd get to the other side of the river. If only I had the ability to be able to get to the other side, everything would be okay. If only. If only I had the ability. If only I didn't feel so inadequate, I'll be able to be who I should be rather than who I've become. How many times have we refused to step out because we felt inadequate to do so? How many times have we remained seated when God called us to move because we felt inadequate? Well, I've got a surprise for you. We are inadequate. But that's okay. Because God knows we're inadequate. God knows that we can't do the task he calls us to under our own strength, under our own abilities. God knows that we can't get to where he wants us to be through our own abilities. That's why he's waiting to stop the water. That's why he's waiting to open the pathway. God wants us to reach out for the impossible, and he's prepared to pull out all the stops. He's prepared to perform miracles so that we can achieve what seems to be unachievable. Of course, God calls us to use our natural abilities. We're all being given natural abilities. We are never called to sit complacently in life, just praying that God will do all the work for us. We're to use our natural abilities in conjunction with our faith. And when we do that, then God will take us supernaturally beyond our abilities, and he will supernaturally empower us to do what he calls us to do. God is not looking at our ability, he's looking at our availability. If we make ourselves available, if we step out like the prisoners did, if we step out even though we're fearful, God will be faithful. God will hold the waters back. He will make a pathway open for us. He'll make a pathway clear so that we can complete the task he's called us to do. He will remove the impossible barrier before us. But he does require us to take the initial step. And once we do that, then he'll hold the waters back. And finally, we come to guilt. Ah, wonderful guilt. Don't we all love guilt, eh? You know, when we sin, when we do something wrong, when we make a big mistake, there are three things we can do. We can deny it. We can pretend that it never happened and hope that it'll go away, but it doesn't. We can allow it to consume us, where we feel so guilty about everything that we feel that we can never get past it, that we're always going to be tainted by what happened, that people will always remember what happened, that we just can't move beyond it. Or we can bring it to God. We can confess it. We can release it to God and let it go. When we bring it to God, we need to remember that we're not telling God something he doesn't already know. Not a surprise to God. He was there when we did it. All we're doing is admitting, I stuffed up. I did something wrong. That's all we're doing. He knows already what we've done. And then we're called to do the unusual thing of letting go of the guilt, leaving it at the foot of the cross, letting go and then moving ahead with life, unencumbered by the guilt of the past, unencumbered by the past. How many times do we continually whip ourselves for a bad decision or a bad mistake we made in the past? That's not living according to God's desires. That's not living according to how God wants us to live. We need to understand that God is much more gracious than that. How many times do we come to the Jordan River in our life, the river of guilt, and we feel that it's too deep, it's too wide, it's absolutely impassable, and there's no possible way we can get across that river of guilt. It's too deep, it's too unforgiving. So we remain on the wrong side of the river. We remain on the wrong side of the river, unable to realize our potential in life because guilt prevents us from moving forward. All too often we stand on the wrong side of the river, gazing over to the promised land, gazing at where we should be in life, gazing at where we could be or who we could be. And we wander through life disappointed and saddened because we find ourselves stuck in a place that we know we're not meant to be. We wander through life deeply disappointed and saddened because we know we're capable of more, but we just can't seem to cross over that river. We just can't seem to cross over that river of guilt in front of us. We worship a gracious God, a gracious Savior who wants us to reach our full potential in life. That's why Jesus went to the cross, to pay the price for our sins, to release us from the guilt that we hold sometimes, to release us so we can live life to the full, unencumbered by the guilt, unencumbered by the shackles that we hold on to. Just like the Israelites, God calls us to step out and ignore the raging river, ignore the river of guilt. And when we do step out in faith, he'll stop the torrent of guilt. You won't even get wet by it. But we have to step out. God's poised, ready to stop the river of guilt. God's poised, waiting to make the pathway open so that we can cross over to where we should be, to be the people we should be. But we have to take that step. We have to take that step. The Israelites had the Jordan River in raging flood, blocking their path to where they were supposed to be. God called them to cross over the other side and become the people he wanted them to be. They were still going to have to fight battles over there. He wasn't telling them to cross over the Jordan River to live in the Garden of Eden, where everything's going to be nice and sweet and hunky-dory. There were going to be battles, but he was going to make them conquerors in the land he called them to. But they had to begin their river. They had to begin their journey by crossing that river. They had to cross over the thing they feared the most. And they weren't to hesitate. They were called to cross over the raging river at that point in time, at that location. They couldn't wait it out. They had to step forward when God told them to step forward. They had to step forward and face their fears rather than run away from them. In the same way, God calls us to step out in faith. He calls us to confront our Jordan River. He calls us to confront those seemingly impossible fears that prevent us from being all we can be in life. And that doesn't mean that we're going to live a life of bliss afterwards. It would be nice, but it doesn't mean that at all. We live in an imperfect world. We live in a fallen world. And there will be battles that we'll face throughout life. But if we're where God wants us to be, he'll be with us to fight those battles with us. We have nothing to fear with him. We can become conquerors in his name. Unfortunately, all too often, we balk, we hesitate when we're called to confront the Jordan River in our life. And when we balk, when we hesitate, fear sets in and our faith begins to wane. How can we cross over that Jordan River? How can we be the person we're supposed to be? The greatest enemy of faith is fear. And we need to remember that fear itself has no power. The only power fear has is when our faith fails to sustain it. We live in an age where we're taught to live by logic rather than as a child of God. We live in an age where we're taught to be masters of our own destiny rather than being the child of God. And when God calls us to step forward, when God calls us to confront the things that we fear in front of us, when God calls us to step over the Jordan River, we hesitate. Because we can't rationalize His call with our logic. We can't rationalize His call due to the fears and inadequacies. For those of us who haven't been baptized, the Jordan River stands over there. The baptism. You step up out of the desert. You step up out of the place where you are without God, and you enter the Jordan River for the baptism, for the remission of your sins in Jesus' name. And when you come out in the promised land. You come out in the promised land of being in relationship with Him, to live a life with Him. You know, there's a story of a man who went to see a friend. And as he went to see the friend, he saw the friend had a chicken coop. It had all these chickens in the chicken coop. And in the middle of the chicken coop was an eagle. And he races over to his friend and says, "Hey, quick, there's an eagle in your chicken pen. You better get that before he starts eating your chickens." And the friend says, "Don't worry. I've had the eagle since it was hatched out of an egg. It's always lived in the chicken pen. It now believes it's a chicken. Look at it. It's scratching around like the chickens, looking for some feed." And the man said, that can't be right. It's an eagle. I'm going to teach it to be an eagle." So he goes in, he grabs the eagle, and he puts it on his arm, and he holds his arm out with the eagle on, and says, "You're an eagle. Fly like an eagle." And the eagle looks around its environment, and looks down to the chickens scratching around, looks down to where it was all the time, and jumps down off his arm back and begins scratching around for more food. And the friend says, "Told you, thinks it's a chicken now." And the man says, "No, that's not right. I don't accept that. I'm going to take it away." So he took the eagle and he walked up onto the balcony overlooking the chicken pen. He holds the eagle out in his arm again and says, "You're an eagle. Fly like an eagle." And the eagle looks around. He can see more things now. He can see more environment than it saw before. But then it looks down and it sees the chickens scratching around for food. It looks up, sees the environment, and looks down. It jumps down, gets back in the chicken pen, and starts scratching around for food. The friend starts laughing, says, I told you. It's now, that eagle is now a chicken. The friend says, "No, that can't be right. That cannot be right. I'm going to come back in the morning and I'm going to show you that it's an eagle." So he comes back early in the morning. And he gets the eagle. He takes the eagle out to the cliff face. And he gets up to the cliff face, right up the cliff face, and he holds the eagle out in his arm and says, "You're an eagle. Fly like an eagle." And the eagle looks around at the horizon, looks around at the vastness it's never seen before. And then it looks down and down, and it sees the impossibility. It's never been that high before. It's impossible. And it looks up again and looks down again. And it gets scared and looks up again. As it looks up again, it catches the sun rising up at the horizon. And it gets blinded by the sun. And something happens. When it's mesmerized by the sun, it stretches its wings out. And as it stretches its wings out, it flaps and takes off and begins soaring. It was an eagle. You see, even though the eagle had lived its life as a chicken, it had the heart of an eagle. Our past may not be the best. There may be insecurities holding us back. But we were created with the heart of God. We were not created to scratch around looking for, rummaging for food like a chicken. We were created to soar with God. That's our call on life. If I could get the musicians up, please. If God can stop a raging flood long enough for a nation of people to cross over the Jordan River without getting wet, then he can certainly stop any river, any obstacle, any fear that we hold. Nothing is as restrictive as it seems. We're called to live in the promised land. We've been created to live in relationship with God. So let's not stand on the riverbank on the wrong side of the river. Let's not stand on the wrong side of the river too scared to cross over. God's calling us to step out. God's calling us to step out and to live in faith. God's calling us to confront our own personal Jordan River. God's calling us to confront our fears. He's calling us to confront our inadequacies, our fear of security, so that we can live the life we've been created to live, so that we can soar with God rather than scrounge around on the ground, so that we can do what we're called to do and become who we've been created to be. God's calling each one of us to step out. The question is, do we have the courage? Do we have the faith to confront our Jordan River? Do we have the courage to confront our fears? The faith to confront our inadequacies? Will we remain on the wrong side of the Jordan River, looking to where we should be all the time, looking to who we should be, never realizing the promises of God on our life? God's calling us, and he's waiting to stop the river. He's waiting to open up the way. It's time to step out. It's time to become who we've been created to be. It's time to realize our potential in life. You know, the meteorologists will tell us that fog thick enough to block your view for 200 meters is made up of one glass of water broken down into 60 million particles. One glass of water can prevent you from seeing all that distance. I find that amazing. But what I find more amazing is that fear can prevent us from stepping out. We are called to step out. We're called to be bold. We have been created to be certain people. And we need to have the courage to step out and be the person we've been created to be. There will be times of fear. There will be battles that we will face. But God will be with us. God will empower us, just as he did with the Israelites. Today, as I open up the altar, it's time for that step. You can't stand on the wrong side of the river. It's time to confront those things that you don't want to confront and cross over and be victorious. God desires us to be conquerors. God desires to soar like eagles, not go around like chickens. Time to soar. The altar is open up if you'd like to come and have some prayer.
Have this confidence because faithfulness of God, the still inside the storm, the promise of the shore. I trust the power of your word, enough to seek your kingdom first, beyond the barrier.